Second case on our docket is Gleason versus Judicial Watch.
May it please the court, my name is Maurice Kneiser. I'm here today on behalf of John Gleason, Attorney Regulation Counsel and the Office of Attorney Regulation. This case raises an issue of first impression under the Colorado Open Records Act. The issue is whether the Open Records Act applies to the Office of Attorney Regulation and Attorney Regulation Counsel. I would like to focus my argument on two tests. The first is whether the Open Records Act encompasses activities such as those of Attorney Regulation Counsel. It is the position of the appellants in this case that the case is determined by the Supreme Court's decision in Office of State Court Administrator versus Background Information Services. Second, assuming that the Background Information Services case is not dispositive and does not exempt Attorney Regulation Counsel from CORA, I will then address the applicability of the case of Denver Post versus Ritter, which is a recent Supreme Court case from Colorado Supreme Court. In this case, the Arizona Bar commenced the prosecution of Andrew Thomas, a former Maricopa County attorney. The Arizona attorney, who was initially appointed to hear this or to prosecute the matter, withdrew. The Arizona Supreme Court, through an order of the Chief Justice of the Arizona Supreme Court, appointed John Gleason, who is Colorado's Attorney Regulation Counsel, to prosecute the case. The Arizona order issued by the Chief Justice of the Arizona Supreme Court was then transmitted to the Colorado Supreme Court. The order stated, the order from the Arizona Supreme Court had a couple of key points. One was that the Arizona Supreme Court requested the assistance from the Colorado Supreme Court to investigate possible attorney misconduct. And two, it authorized the Office of Attorney Regulation Counsel to perform such duties on behalf of the Arizona Bar. The case was transmitted to Chief Justice Malarkey of the Colorado Supreme Court, and the Chief Justice ordered John Gleason, in his capacity as Attorney Regulation Counsel, to serve as independent bar counsel for the Arizona Supreme Court. Shortly after Mr. Gleason's appointment, Judicial Watch filed its open records request.
May I interrupt you, Mr. Kneiser, please?
Yes, Your Honor.
At the time that they filed the open records request, no complaint had been filed against the Arizona attorneys. That's correct, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
That has, however, subsequently happened. Is that so?
Complaint was filed, and actually the case was prosecuted, and it's my understanding that it's awaiting decision from the Arizona panel.
All right. If that is so, does that difference that a complaint has been filed, does that make any difference in our analysis?
It does not, Your Honor. And again, it almost makes no difference whether you analyze the case under the Background Information Services case or under Denver Post versus Ritter.
Let's start with, if for shorthand, I'll call it BIS, if I may. BIS appears to say that if CORA does not apply, and let's assume for purposes of argument that it doesn't apply, that we turn to the court rules to figure out what we should do. In this case, if we take a look at the pertinent court rules concerning attorney investigations, they have in 251.31, they have extensive confidentiality requirements. But they also say in 251.31a, except as otherwise provided, and except for certain things like work product, records shall be available to the public after the committee determines that reasonable cause to believe for discipline exists, and regulation counsel files and serves a complaint. If this case were in Colorado, and I understand it is not, but if this case was in Colorado, would we have any dispute at this point?
If this case were in Colorado, you would not have a dispute as to the applicability of 251.31. The issue in this case, though, so the records would have been turned over pursuant to that particular court rule. This, however, was the records request was made pursuant to the Colorado Open Records Act. So you're right, the records would have been disclosed, assuming it was a Colorado prosecution and the complaint had been filed, but not under CORA. They would have been limited to the records that could have been disclosed under attorney regulation counsel rules.
So why doesn't that answer our question for this case? Shouldn't we just look to the attorney regulation rules and say, okay, a complaint's been filed, let's look at 251.31A, let's figure out what goes out? Why isn't it that?
Because this is not a Colorado prosecution. What happened in this case was that the request was made by the Arizona Supreme Court. Chief Justice Malarkey, under the general construct that the Chief Justice or the court can assign duties, made this assignment. But the duty that was assigned was not one that was a duty specific to Attorney Regulations Council responsibilities under the rules. It was a duty that was outside, that was still a duty of the Attorney Regulation Council, but was outside the regulations that typically govern Attorney Regulation Council. This is a very unique case because of that particular structure. I think there's an argument that if any court rules apply, they would have had to have been the court rules of Arizona.
And don't they make these records open too at this point?
Well, but then there's a question as to whether or not this court, it seems to me, would have jurisdiction to determine whether or not the Arizona rule should apply. It seemed to me that in this particular circumstance, because if you look at the Arizona court order, he was acting under the auspices of Arizona. He was subject to, Mr. Gleason was subject to the rules of Arizona, that the appropriate place would have been to file in Arizona court.
Here's my last question, and then I'll let my colleagues speak because I've hogged too much of your time. But doesn't that create a no-win situation? If they go to Arizona, the Arizona court says, those records are in Colorado. We don't have any jurisdiction over them. If we come to Colorado, you say, well, he was doing Arizona business. So aren't you putting them in between a rock and a hard place?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, I guess the initial question is that assumes that they are entitled to the records under any circumstances. I don't think that's the case. I think, as in any case, one has to determine what the proper jurisdiction is. And our argument here is that these are not subject to the Open Records Act because they're, if anything, this is a judicial function. But that if there are any rules, that they have to be Arizona rules, and that the appropriate auspices was under Arizona rules. Again, this was a core request, and that's how we responded.
So let me follow up on that a little bit. Are you taking a position one way or another in this matter concerning whether Mr. Gleason was acting in his capacity as Colorado Attorney Regulation Counsel or in his capacity as something in Arizona? And the reason that I ask that question is because 251.3b says the Attorney Regulation Council shall not hold any other public office. So what was he doing here?
Well, what he was doing, that is true. And I think that definition of public office, that hasn't been interpreted here in Colorado, so I'm just sort of offering this off the cuff.
And I guess part of my question is that even relevant here?
Well, you know, I think it is a relevant question. I think the issue, the specific answer to your question goes back to the other duties as assigned, which was referred to in Justice Malarkey's order. So what she determined was that this was a duty that she could assign to him, although it wasn't specifically within the four corners of the rules, but then she also incorporated the Arizona Supreme Court order, which then made Mr. Gleason subject to the rules of the Arizona court system.
Okay. I'd like to ask you, because you have a couple times said that this is really is not a CORA request. So are you saying that CORA is not at all implicated, or are you saying this is a carve-out from the presumption of access under CORA?
It is our initial argument that CORA is not implicated because of the analysis in background information services. And if I may, I'd sort of like to kind of outline for you why I think that is the case. The district court found that BIS was essentially limited to its facts. It's our argument that that is a misreading or too limited a reading of background information services. And I think it's important to go through background information services. I think part of the reason that the opinion may have been a bit obtuse is because the court was working under the rule of necessity. There was a question as to whether or not it's whether or not it could hear the case because there was an obvious conflict. But what the court did in that case was to, first of all, start out with a statement that, in effect, the judicial department's activities were implicated. It didn't limit the, in its initial analysis, to just the courts. It talked about the judicial department. It then outlined the procedural history of the case, and it also talked about the three issues that were subject to the certiorari. One was the effect of the rule change 1999-3. The second addressed the Chief Justice directive that had been issued. And the third was whether the state court administrator was required to remove confidential data. When the court got into the substance of its analysis, what it said was it rejected the underlying presumption of the district court of the arguments that were made by the parties and also of the statement of the issues. And it says that the court as a threshold matter first concludes that courts are not agency for all purposes of the act. And then what it did was it went to an analysis of the history of the act. And it noted in particular that when there was the legislative study that was done, found that court records were something separate and apart historically. It then noted that for purposes of the open records law, the General Assembly did not make specific reference to court records. And for that reason, it found the court records were not included as part of CORA. Then it went on with its analysis to find why, under various court rules and directives, the information should not be disclosed. The same analysis applies here. In the legislative history before the implementation of CORA, there were specific references to grievance committee activities. The Legislative Council noted that the grievance committees the grievance committee records were historically secret and exempt. They being the General Assembly, did not include specific reference to grievance committee records. And so I think using the analysis in background information services, one would have to conclude here that the grievance committee process, which is now the attorney regulation process, was not subject to CORA. And that is why we believe that CORA does not apply.
Mr. Knizer, I hate to do this to you with only 2 minutes left. I'd like to ask, what is your precise position on the court's order that redacted billing statements should be produced? Now, I realize that that's part of the cross appeal as well, but I want to understand where you're coming from. Do you think that the court erred in even allowing that limited amount under the billing statements, or are you fine with that and that's not being contested as part of your appeal?
No, Your Honor, our position is that none of the records, including redacted billing records, should be disclosed for the reasons I just talked about with regard to the applicability of CORA.
Because CORA doesn't apply at all, yeah. That's your argument.
But I think that touches upon the question of, let's assume the CORA applies. Under the Denver Post versus Ritter analysis, one would then have to get to the question as to whether or not this is a public record. That is, whether or not it is a record that was established for basically for use or regarding expenditure of public funds. And mere peripheral or sort of an unintended or minor use is not necessarily covered. I mean, that was the issue in Denver Post versus Ritter, which had to do with the governor's telephone records, where the records themselves actually recorded calls that the governor may have made with respect to particular public activities, but the court ruled that they were so peripheral that they really didn't count as a public record. And I'll reserve my remaining 18 seconds unless there are other questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Michael Bekesha on behalf of Judicial Watch. One of the questions that came up during Mr. Kneiser's argument was, you know, where are these records? The records that Judicial Watch requested are in Colorado. We've not asked for any records about the investigation that took place in Arizona. Mr. Gleason and at least one other person of his staff was down in Arizona for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months performing this investigation. We're not looking for work product. We're not looking for any records created down there. What we're looking for are records about what was going on in Colorado at that time. For example, Mr. Kneiser said that the Arizona Supreme Court order was transmitted to the Colorado Supreme Court and the Attorney Regulation Council. There's nothing in the record stating that that transmittal took place. That's what we're looking for. We're asking for Arizona Supreme Court issued an order. Colorado, 2 days later, issued an order. Did they talk to one another? Was there any communications? Did any of these logistics, were they discussed between the Colorado Supreme Court and the Attorney Regulation Council?
Are those two orders in our record?
Yes, they are, Your Honor.
How'd you get those?
Arizona made it public because they also issued a press release at the time, and the Colorado Supreme Court order was produced in one of the lower court during briefing. I think during one of the initial briefs that's not attached to the complaint. But no other information has been provided. It's in the record that Attorney Regulation Council and at least one other of its staff members were down in Arizona for a period of time. So Judicial Watch was wondering, well, who is manning the ship in Colorado? Who is overseeing Colorado attorneys when several Colorado Attorney Regulation Councils were down in Arizona? I think it's safe to assume that there had to have been some communication between the Attorney Regulation Council and the Colorado Supreme Court or anybody else in the office stating, we're going to be down here for another 2 weeks. These are the type of records we're asking for. We're not asking for anything about the investigation. That an investigation took place or that was occurring down in Arizona, you know, to implement Rule 251, you know, that it doesn't really matter. As we stated for, you know, by way of example in our brief, Mr. Gleason could have been going on vacation for 6 months, just leaving. And, you know, while being the head of the office, while he was preparing for vacation, he probably sent some communications, created a memo of who was taking, who was in charge while he was gone, how long he was going to be gone, and notifying his supervisors, the Colorado Supreme Court, of his intentions so that the Office of Attorney Regulation Council could continue for that period of time. So these are the records we are looking for. We're not looking for work product.
Oh, Ms. Bekesha, were the records that you were seeking of billing Colorado records?
They are, Your Honor. The billing records, under the Arizona Supreme Court order and the Colorado Supreme Court order, which adopted the Arizona order, said that the state of Colorado or the Office of Attorney Regulation Council would be reimbursed for time. Mr. Gleason didn't, you know, wasn't off the clock. This was a long, extensive investigation. There's nothing in the record, but I highly doubt that this was going on after hours, only on the weekends. So, you know, his time, which he kept and then provided the billing records, the money would then come back to Colorado. So we consider those to be, you know, public records of the state of Colorado because the money was going to be reimbursed to Colorado. It was a billing statement of the Colorado. They were the, you know, they provided to Arizona and then it came back. And going back to the redacted portions, you know, we're not looking to find out who the Attorney Regulation Council interviewed that day, what paper he drafted that day. We're just looking to see how much time was spent, how, you know, not even how his time was spent, but just how much time was spent in Arizona and not attending to the business at Colorado as he's required to do.
So, Bekesha, please go ahead. I'd like to ask you about your theory for obtaining access to these records. it's your position, I think, that BIS doesn't foreclose CORA's application here.
That's correct.
Let's assume for purposes of argument that we think that the statement in BIS is more clear than you do, and that the Supreme Court has told us that it is that the judiciary is not a agency for state purposes under CORA. Now, obviously, the legislature, after BIS was decided in 1999, in the intervening approximate 13 years, they could have done something if they didn't agree with it. They could have said, you're wrong, you are a state agency, we're amending the statute to make it crystal clear that you fall under this. They haven't done that. Isn't that suggestive of what their intent is?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think by the plain reading of BIS, CORA applies to the judiciary generally, and BIS only makes the exception for court records, record of the court. Information that is so personalized, so particular to individuals, that it would be harmful to individuals for those records to be produced. There wasn't, in BIS, the concern was not the administrative record, administrative records of the administrative arms of the judiciary. The BIS is solely about and discussing court records, records of the court, these particularized records of adoptions, divorces, medical records, you know, anything that could come about in criminal and civil courts. That was the concern there. So if the judiciary looked at it, I believe they would, I'm sorry, if the legislature looked at that opinion, I believe they would look at it and say, well, this only applies to court records, so there's no need to clarify because the opinion just doesn't do that.
What's the distinction as a matter of substance between court record in a traditional civil or criminal case and the record of an attorney regulation counsel investigatory and then prosecution proceeding?
There may not be much difference, but that goes back to what Judicial Watch asked for under CORA. We didn't ask for the work product, the particularized documents about Andrew Thomas or any of the other attorneys in Arizona and what Mr. Gleason was investigating. We were asking for what Mr. Gleason was informing his boss about how long he would be gone, who's going to take care of the office, who's going to regulate attorneys in Colorado while he's gone for this period of time. And also, you know, similarly, prior to the appointment, how did the appointment take place? Did Mr. Gleason and the Colorado Chief Justice speak before the Chief Justice issued her order, or did they see the press release down in Arizona, and then the Colorado Supreme Court issued its administrative order? These are the details we're looking at. We're not looking for the work product, the investigation files, particularized, you know, individual sensitive information.
What's your position on this hypothetical? What if you had served your CORA request on the Chief Justice and said, give me all of your documents on this subject? Would CORA cover those?
We didn't do that.
I understand you didn't. I want to know because, I mean, isn't the Attorney Regulation Council just an extension of our Supreme Court, particularly the Chief Justice?
I think we've asked for the administrative records of the Attorney Regulation Council, and under BIS, under the Chief Justice Directive, under Rule 1, we haven't asked for court records, therefore CORA applies.
So what's the answer to my question? If you had served that CORA request on the Chief Justice, what do you believe that request would have been covered by CORA?
I think as the law stands, yes, to the only to the administrative records. Regarding the Attorney Regulation Council. Not to anything farther, not looking at the Chief Justice's records in general, but when we're looking at the administrative records, not records of the court, not court records, CORA does apply.
What about the applicability of Rule 251.31A?
I think with regard to Rule 251, it doesn't apply because we're not asking for records of work product. We're not asking for the investigation files. We're only asking for the administrative files of how this appointment by the Colorado Supreme Court to the Colorado Attorney Regulation Council took place, how it occurred, under what authority, And then the Attorney Regulation Counsel administering his office while he was gone, and his supervisors are the Colorado Supreme Court, and so his notifications to it about how long he was going to be gone, how many employees he was taking down there with him, what resources he would need. These are all questions about the administration of his office, which leads to why we believe that under the Ritter test, these records are public records under CORA. The Attorney Regulation Council is part of the state. Mr. Gleason is an employee of the state, and he maintained and kept these records about the administration of his office. And that those are clearly public records under that two-prong test.
If BIS is broader than you say, is that still the case? If BIS is read the way Mr. Kneiser, if we read it the way that he suggests, do we still agree with you on that?
I think you do, Your Honor. I think BIS also stands for the proposition that not the entire the judiciaries or courts are not looked at as agencies. So if you extend it to be more broader, which we don't believe it is, I still think CORA applies. There are just limitations to what CORA applies. And one of those limitations set forth are either court rules or the Chief Justice Directive. And if you look at the Chief Justice Directive, it only speaks about court records and defines court records and how and when court records may be released and produced. There's nothing in there about the administrative records of the judiciary as a whole, but more specifically, the administrative arms of the judiciary.
Well, doesn't Chief Justice Directive 0501 talk about personnel records, for example, and aren't those administrative?
Personnel records are, but personnel records are also different, because they are, you know, personalized individual records of an employee. Social Security number, bank account information, any types of grievances.
Well, but aren't you asking for personalized individual records about Mr. Gleason? This is him, what he's doing.
It is, but it's about how he's doing his job. These are not
don't personnel records talk about how people are doing their jobs? I mean, for example, performance reviews and those sorts of things?
Possibly, but these aren't performance reviews. Mr. Gleason is doing an outstanding job working for the Arizona Bar. These records are the Chief Justice, possibly others in the Colorado Supreme Court, communicating with Mr. Gleason, asking, when are you going to be back in Colorado? We have a crisis that came up today. You're in Arizona. Who's going to take care of this? These aren't personnel records in the sense of what personnel records are. These are records about the management of his office, how the Attorney Regulation Council is managing and administering the Office of Attorney Regulation Council while he is down in Arizona for this extended period of time. These are records we are asking for. Nothing about the investigation, nothing about Mr. Gleason's performance, just how is the office being managed while he's out of the state. And finally, the last point about whether these requested records are not generally exempt. We don't believe they are. We don't believe that Colorado Public Access Rule 1 applies, because that clearly demonstrates, or that again talks about records of the court. Authorizing the Chief Justice to issue a directive about access to records made, received, or maintained by the courts. Again, the focus is court records. Also, Rule 251.
Let me just interrupt you for a minute. Is there a difference between court records and records of the court? I mean, I think you could make a pretty good argument that since the Attorney Regulation Council is essentially an extension of the Supreme Court, what you're asking for is records of the court. The question is, is there a difference between records of the court and court records?
I think there is, Your Honor. I think when, in this context, court records or records of the court have a very particular and specific meaning. And if you look at Chief Justice Directive 0501, it lays out what court records are. And so I think in this context, it talks, you know, the issue specifically is records of the courts during litigation, and specifically, you know, these individualized personal records of parties taking place, you know, that are using the courts or in the court. No other questions? Thank you very much.
Very briefly, I'd just like to address Justice Loeb's question with respect to the relationship of the state court, attorney regulation to the Supreme Court. I think that goes to the heart of what underlies BIS, which is the separation of powers question, and the courts and the General Assembly's reluctance to cross that line. And that in our view, is what underlies BIS, and I think it goes to the heart of our argument about BIS and why CORA doesn't apply. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel, for your excellent arguments. They're very helpful. The case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course.